for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Wednesday evening, June 28, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, summer camp meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The speaker of the evening is Chuck Flynn.
We're going to turn the service to Brother Chuck and ask that the Spirit of the Lord will move and bless this evening. Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege again to come and uplift the name of the Lord Jesus tonight and to magnify He who has done so much for us. Lord, we ask that the anointing of the Lord which rests in this place flow through Chuck tonight, out unto each one of us, that thy ministry will be unto thy people, to uplift and to build and to deliver and to set free and to point the way to the kingdom of the living God that you're bringing forth in the land. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming and standing with Chuck this evening and bringing him before thee, that your spirit and rest will be upon him. The anointing of the Lord shall flow. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to express some things from the Word of the Lord that gives us our strength and our dominion in what the Lord is saying in these hours. The Lord said the storehouse would be that place that when we give, we would give to the storehouse. The Hebrew word in Malachi 3:10 is a word that is very unusual and has to do with an arsenal. You give to the arsenal. You give to the armory, a place where weapons are kept. And therefore, when you give to the anointing, then you are released. It is that place where you're given weapons. And this is a concept that many of us miss. We will get used to supporting something that is not contributory to the weapons of our warfare. And therefore, we might support something that doesn't have enough power to blow us out of a wet paper sack. And so the Bible says, I want you to give to the army where the ammunition is kept against the wiles of the devil. If there's any armory that I know of in any warehouses here, in this conference and here that God has sent, my brother and sister Miller, and for the freedom that we have and the weapons and the loosening of God, and we want to support it. I prayed and praying and interceding last night after the meeting. Intercession come upon us way the midnight hour. We would see the Lord really release. And there is a release. And I believe today that many of us, as we worship the Lord, I felt a complete lifting, hallelujah, that which would try to hold back the finances. Amen. I'm not just casually saying, okay, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe and trust you to hear what God wants you to do. This is very, very important. And many of us shall be released in a fresh dimension of weapons tonight. I want to share with you the things that God showed me in, as we began last night in the book of Joel. Now, the tape last night will be needful because I did want to pick it up after the anointing of God. The Lord gave, and turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Joel. Now, if we think that verse 28 in the second chapter is all Joel has to say, then we miss a greater portion of that which he wants to bring forth. The thing that I feel, as we've already touched, is the army of the Lord, that he had understanding of the times, from Joel 2:7. Now, let's bring our minds under subjection and speak life to the Word. Father, we speak life to your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we will speak it. And we command the word to live in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the life, that we will walk in it. And we praise you that the anointing of thy truth will go forth as a mighty lightning bolt of thy presence. Amen. Now, the anointing of Joel to the army of the Lord is number one. through the creative gifts of the restoration of verse 25. Joel 2:7 is the army of the Lord. Joel 2:25 is the great creative works of God, a creative healing power, the restoration anointing. Joel 2:28 is the anointing of God upon the sons and daughters, upon all flesh. And the emphasis here is that there is a great move in the family by the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, I feel that according to Joel 2:28, I want you to put down Exodus 35 and verse 30. Because the anointing of God is upon the home. The sons and daughters prophesying, and the anointing of God upon the father that prophesy over the sons, and of course the daughters, and of course the mother also. The glory of God is involved in the home. Now, from this standpoint, I believe the anointing of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is more than tongues, more than the gifts. It is the anointing of God for the whole man. The vocation, the secular job, the domestic relationship, and our social relationship shall be edified under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I take that scriptural evidence and foundation from Exodus 35. Turn with me to verse 30. Exodus 35 and verse 30. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 that everything that happened to them were for our edification or example. To bring a spiritual edification is the right term. In verse 30 of Exodus 35, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called thy name, and please circle, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, who raised up the arms of Moses with Aaron, and therefore the battle was won as long as they had the arms of Moses raised up, Hur and Aaron, of the tribe of Judah. Now Judah means what? Praise. So Bezalel had a heritage of praise. Write that down. A heritage of praise. He knew how to praise the Lord. And then verse 31 tells us the key. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. And please put down and underline, number one, in wisdom. Number two, in understanding. Number three, in knowledge. Number four, in all manner of workmanship. And drop down to number verse 34. And number five, that he may teach. So I'm going to read those verses. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in carving of wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, and the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. You begin to see what the anointing of God is here, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon Bezalel and upon these other brethren because they knew how to praise God. And he gave them the fivefold anointing of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and the ability to work all manner of craftsmanship was an anointing of the Holy Ghost and peace. And the fivefold anointing that came upon them to build the tabernacle of Moses, Paul says what happened to them was for our example. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we're building more than the tabernacle of Moses, friends. We're building the body of Christ. And the same fivefold anointing is coming upon the body of Christ. And we have the pastor, the teacher, We have the evangelist, we have the apostle and prophet, and the anointing of the fivefold ministry is also touching the body of Christ today, and God is upon his people to bring forth the body of the Lord and the tabernacle of the believer forth as the body of Christ. We will see all manner of cunning work. We'll have the Holy Ghost come upon God's people. We're going to have men full of the Holy Spirit in scientific fields, in political fields. We're going to turn what the trick of the devil has tried and the counsel of hell. They are not creators. They are imitators. And God is the creator. And what God has ordained that will happen, Satan has tried to jump the gun and tried to use it to his advantage, but the Lord's going to turn the tide. Hallelujah. He is going to anoint his people. He'll anoint our nervous system. He'll anoint every child of God with an ability. And we're going to have men and women in places, all vocations of life, shall have a spirit-filled person that shall move according to the dictates and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the body shall be strong, and the world will have to give account to the Lord Jesus because of such a strength upon the body of Christ. This is what the Lord is saying in the book of Joel. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and every vocation of life, the home is going to be so strong and blessed. Praise God. We're not just going to slip around, friend, and just barely make it out of this old world. We're going to prepare his ways. And bless God under the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was the only one sitting on that hill. But brother, they sent 50 soldiers after 50 soldiers. And the fire of God burned them up. Amen. I'm sure we're going to have more weapons than we've got now. But praise God. It's not that we are lacking anything. It's just that we're in the timing of the Lord. And let his timing take root within us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what I feel that the end time anointing of Joel is. That there will be an expression of God's ability in every vocation of life. In agriculture, in farm work. In the poverty areas, in all over the world, there's going to be those that will be raised up, and the authority of God will be upon them. And God has more that has not bowed to Baal.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And I loose that anointing. Hallelujah! Praise God, the authority of the Lord. Through his word, he'll have a glorious church. A glorious church. I loose the glory on the church. Hallelujah. I loose the glory. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know how many there'll be, but there'll be those that in every level of life, he's going to give them the capacity in all cunning craftsmanship. There'll be those, praise God, in the anointing of the Spirit that will have the answer. In scientific, in every field. Political and the media. Oh, thank God when we get Holy Ghost men in the media. Now see, if we just sit back and say, oh, how terrible it is, we've got to release it by speaking life through the Word. Now, Lord, you release that. We believe that exactly what the anointing of the Word says. And Paul said they were all baptized, and when they went through the Red Sea, that was a baptism in water. And they were all baptized in the cloud. It's a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So when they built the tabernacle of Moses, it's a type of God's anointing to build the body of Christ. And the fivefold ministries coincide. Hallelujah. To the perfecting or to the purpose that the saints will be positioned at the right place at the right time in his anointing. Now the last verse of Joel, there is four anointings in Joel. Did I mention? Joel 2:7, army of the Lord. Joel 2:25, the creative gifts or the creative healings of God, the restoration. Joel 2:28, the ability of God on the home and in every vocation of life. the body of Christ will be built. Now, the last verse of the third chapter of Joel brings out the fourth main. Now, there might be others that you could study and bring forth. That'll be fine. But I just want to touch on these four main ones. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Please underline that whole verse. It has to do with Zion, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. That's the reason. He said, I'm going to cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. When he speaks of blood, we must realize that the main revelation of blood is not only the applying over sin and the forgiveness of sin, but the blood means that there is a vocalizing. When he said, I'm going to cleanse their blood, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Now you take the main verse for Zion, which is in Isaiah, for out of what? Zion goeth forth the what? The law, or the word of the Lord. And that is Jesus, that is the authority out of Zion. In Psalms 2, the Father speaks in the first three verses. The world speaks in the first three verses. And the kings of the earth, that means the dominating kings, they said, we're going to break their bands. That means the Father and the anointed one is the Messiah, Jesus. We're going to break their bands. The word bands means paternal authority, the unity of the home, the sanctity of marriage, and all these TV programs and all of this attacks against marriage and the home, all of that is part of this Psalms 2 prediction. They're trying to break the bands, and that's the authority of God in the home and the sanctity of marriage. And the cords. The word cords means servitude. It means that men in the last days, you won't be able to get an honest day's work out of nobody that unless they're a child of God. And then you got to prod. Servitude will be so low, there'll hardly be a good ounce of service to do a good job. But anyway, that's Psalms 2. But God says, you set yourselves against the Lord and His Christ. And the Father then speaks in verse 4, to 6, I believe it is there. And the Father says in 4 and 5, he said, but I'll laugh in the heavens because I've set my king on Mount Zion. I think it's verse 5 and 6. He said, my king, you set yourselves against, but I've set my king on Mount Zion. So that's where Jesus is set, on Mount Zion. Now here's where the anointing of God is. For out of Zion shall go forth the vocalizing. And God said, I'm going to cleanse their blood by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In the end time, it means that which is being spoken has been contaminated. And to get New Testament evidence of this, I want us to turn to Matthew 15. The gospel has been contaminated, but God said, I'm going to cleanse their blood. All right? By the anointings of the Spirit. Matthew 17, verse 2. Though I don't want to start there because that has already been touched on in the Transfiguration. Put down the verse 2, 2 Chronicles 3:18, and then you'll, that we touched on that this morning, get that tape. I want to start with verse 22. Matthew 17, verse 22. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, verse 24, I want you to underline, they that received tribute money. Please circle the term tribute money. That's a term that was used to pay and to back up the earthly system, the traditional church system. Tribute money. They came to Peter and they said, doth not your master pay tribute or redemption money? And he saith, yes. All Peter said, he just said, yes. And he went on in the house. when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him or got his attention, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" Please put down by the word Simon, one who's easily persuaded or he's easily swayed by others' opinions. That's why Jesus changed his name to Petros, or a chip off the old block. Rocky. Hallelujah. "What sayest thou, Rocky?" That's the nature that the Lord wanted to bring forth in him. But Peter was easily swayed by those opinions. And in Galatians, Paul had to look him in the face because he took his plate and he was easily swayed by the Jewish brethren that came up from Jerusalem. And Simon means a reed by the river that's easily blown. Jesus, that's why Jesus called him Peter or Petros. He says, "I have put within you a stability." Hallelujah. You'll not be easily swayed. "Of whom do the kings," now circle the word kings, "of the earth take custom or tribute," underline that, "of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." And I want you to underline that, brother. And put down Joel 2:7. "Then are the children free." Hallelujah. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them," underline that, "lest we should offend them." There'll be a while that we will not offend them, Jesus said. "Go thou to the sea, cast in hook." And please circle the word hook, because it's the only time that Jesus ever used this term hook in teaching a great truth. He always used, and in scriptural understanding, he always in the kingdom of God used a net. But here he used a hook. And the hook means limitation. Put that down by your notes. "And take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth," mouth and coin and tribute money are all the same, "thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." As we read this portion of Scripture, we just thank God for the coin in the fish's mouth. What a miracle. And it is. But if you miss the teaching here, you've missed the great point. One of the shocking things of the end time message is what Jesus is telling us here. He said, "Peter, what's going on?" Well, he said, "Simon, I know what's going on," but he said, "I want you to go." He said, "They want us to support some earthly traditional system." He said, "Now, Simon, whom do the kings of the earth receive? Who pays? Their children are strangers." And Simon says, "Strangers." Or Peter does. Jesus said, "Yes, then are the children free." By Jesus saying that, he meant, "Then are the king's children free." And he implied that his children, when he comes into his authority of kingship, not when, but as the time approaches for his coming as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there will be a day during this dispensation when the children will be free. And he said, "Then are the children free." But he said, "Until that happens, we won't offend them for a while." But he said, "Peter, I want you to take a hook, and I want you to show, as a prophet of God, what's going to happen to the church." And Peter takes a hook, and in Ezekiel 38:39, a hook in the bear's jaw meant what? Pullback or limitation. And who did he put the hook into? A fish. And what's the sign of a fish? Whew. Brother, when Jesus told this, he wasn't just being wishy-washy. He was saying, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the king's children." Praise God. And he says, "One day, the fish is going to have a hook in it, Peter. And I'm going to have the hook in the fish. And the church system will decrease, and the kingdom will increase. My children are going to be set free, and I'm going to cleanse their blood." Hallelujah. And the coin in the fish's mouth had two sides. And the tribute coin, in Unger's dictionary brings this out, others also, it was pure redemption on one side, and on the other was stood for bad food, the message, the socializing of the gospel. Bad food, and that's why Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep! But he says, the harlots have come. And he says, they gave my people bad food that has caused infected blood. And that's why one of Joel's purposes is that when the Holy Ghost falls upon all flesh, the message, the vocalizing, the preaching, the children are going to be set free. Hallelujah. The anointing of that tribute coin, and that causes gangrene in the bloodline of Jesus, which the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Put that in your Bible or you'll miss the whole revelation of the term blood. The blood shakes and the blood speaks. And the blood covers, of course. But those three areas of the blood of Jesus covers, shakes, and speaks. Shaking and speaking is the tremendous release of the blood of Jesus for our day. He says, therefore, I'm going to cleanse their blood from Zion. Hallelujah. And the authority of the anointing of the kingdom. The fish shall decrease, the kingdom shall increase, and the children of the kingdom shall be free. And we won't offend them, brother. Oh, no. He says, we won't offend them for a while, but there will be a day when the children are free and the kingdom is increased, that my children are going to come forth and they will not spare anybody. They're going to have such brazen anointing. Jeremiah says, Lord, and the anointing of God come upon Jeremiah 15, verse 21, and said, Jeremiah, you're going to be a fenced, brazen wall. A fence, brazen wall. You're going to be a wall of brass. That means you're going to be judgment everywhere you go. Men will never be the same. The church of Jesus Christ, the anointing of the body of Christ, will be a brazen wall, and everyone you witness to will never be the same. Hallelujah. Praise God, you'll be the pivot point of everyone you meet because of the authority of God upon you. In the Song of Solomon, the last chapter, chapter 8, is it, Brother Bonnie? 10? And the woman was taken by Solomon, taken by the king, and he wooed her and tried to give her all of the fineries. Her brethren said, now if she be a door, she's going to be clothed in cedar. That means if she succumbed to the king and had relationship with him and lost her virtue, then we're going to enclose her with cedar. That means she's dead. But if she be a wall, we're going to build her a palace of silver. She's been tried in the fire. Silver means fire, tried, pure. And in verse 10, here she comes. The shepherd lover has been waiting for her. And her brothers are standing by the side of the road. And here she comes down the road. And the first thing she says was, I am a wall. I am a wall. In other words, I did not lose my virtue. I did not have another lover. But I've kept myself from my shepherd lover. Hallelujah. And that's why the church is a wall. Hallelujah. A brazen wall that has not had other lovers and not gone back on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have our shepherd lover. And praise God, we're sons and daughters, children of the King, if you please. And God said, I'm going to cleanse your blood. The messages of clergy and all types of messages that are supposed to be from me, I'm going to cleanse them in your day. And the fish shall have a hook and decrease, but the kingdom will increase. And my children will go forth as men of war, intoxicated, hallelujah, with the new wine of God's anointing. And we'll speak the power of God
and clergy after clergy, congregation after congregation, will cleanse their blood. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the message of the gospel shall take on more power. Sometimes we pray, oh, can we hold out just a little longer to preach to this mess? Oh, my. Come and get us, Lord. We've just begun to see the anointing of God. We've just begun to see the plan and purpose of God. Most pastors that pastor a flock hardly think, my, if this is what's going up, my goodness, where shall a sinner and the ungodly appear? But I want you to know the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be pure redemption money. Hallelujah. We will see the anointing of the kingdom come forth. In great strides of glory. Because Jesus said, when you have a hook in the mouth is Calvary. And that voice from Calvary shall be pure. Hallelujah. And the mouth of my people shall speak the anointing of power and glory. And those that are teaching evolutionary or socializing gospel or some type of cult and other types of just positive thinking. Oh, God, cleanse your word, cleanse your blood, for the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. We command it so. We speak life to the word, and praise God, the redemption money shall go forth, and we will support, hallelujah, the authority of the strong man of Zion, the man of war in Jesus. You're going to have great anointing, and the thrill of that Holy Ghost anointing upon you shall be strong, and praise God. We haven't offended them for a while, but there will be a day, bless God, in our day, we're going to see the cleansing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As I told some of you that David Ingalls was playing his last record in his home, and he's put all of the, most of his records, and others are doing the same, I suppose. But this is one way God's going to get into the historic churches in a beautiful way. See, they've got to be cleansed on their own ground. I'm going to cleanse their blood. And so David Ingalls looked at me and he said, Brother Chuck, he said, these songs we put in choir arrangements, he said, you know who's ordering them? He said, I'm surprised. I don't know how. I don't know where it began. I just don't know why these people are ordering so many of different organizations. But you know, he named them off to me. He says it's the Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Baptist, and many other types of Methodists and all over. It's the historic churches, the ones that are ordering most of David Ingalls' songs for their choirs. And when their choirs sing it, the anointing of that word shall be so powerful that the congregations will demand it from the pulpit. That's one of the ways God's going to cleanse his blood. And I sat there and I just, tears in my eyes, I said, Brother David, I see it. I've been preaching this for a while, that God's going to cleanse his blood. I didn't know how God's going to do it. But praise God, this is one of the ways I see it now. I see it. Hallelujah. He's going to cleanse his blood. Let's all stand. Amen. I appreciate your patience. Hallelujah. That sister who was going to sing, would you come? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who was it, Glenn? Thank you, Father. Let's all just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. You want to prepare your number? For my glory shall one day fill the earth, and my anointing is upon thee even now. Therefore you shall go forth with that honor of God upon your lips. And I will cleanse your blood as you go forth in me, and the power and the anointing of my purpose shall go, yea, and not a stone, yea, shall be upon another. For I will uncover every stone and every crevice,
For the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth, and I will bring my body together, and my people shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. Praise the power and the anointing of thy wonderful Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name.
The love of friend and lover is often sweetly sung, but no greater love than the Savior's love can be told by mortal tongue. There is no greater love than that of Christ above, that made him stoop to us, become a man.
I'd like to sing just the chorus without the accompaniment, okay? And if you know this, just sing along with me. There is no greater love, and I believe that all of our needs are supplied through God's riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And my singing centers in the redemption of Jesus Christ. I don't think we have the full revelation on the atonement of
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ. And I believe when we do, that something just fabulous is probably going to be usher in the kingdom, usher in the millennium, when God really reveals the atonement of Jesus to us. And this is what I sing about.
There is no greater love than that of Christ above, that made him
Glory, hallelujah, That's one of the greatest songs that was ever written. In fact, that is my favorite outside of Oh, How I Love Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you this evening for your presence. I thank you for the generosity of your people. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing unto the camp. Lord, I thank you for your blessings unto them. I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you for it. Lord, we appreciate them, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. Lord, we ask that the blessings of the Lord rest upon them and their families and those who gave and those who did not give, Lord. We do not segregate them, Lord. They're all together in one family, Lord. We're one family together. And Lord, I thank you for them and I praise your name for them. And I thank you for your blessing upon them. Lord, give us a good night's rest. Bring us together tomorrow morning to hear the word of the Lord. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.